so funny you say that because I really struggled with the niching down thing as well. And it comes up a lot in a lot of design podcasts and design blogs. I think it's a really hard topic to hit the nail on the head. For me personally, I found one particular industry just wasn't right. And I didn't want to niche down by industry. So I thought, can I niche down according to my values?
In the world of rulers, grids, and pixels, where creativity knows no bounds, we champion the rebels, the dreamers, and the innovators, the ones who didn't wait for permission but forged their own path in design. I'm Joanna, your fellow self-taught designer and founder of Savvy Chic Design, and this is the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. Dive with us into the story of audacity, grit, and imagination from designers who made it on their own terms. So grab your tools, ignite that spark, and let's dive into the world where every line, curve, and pixel tells a story. Hey there, self-taught designers. Welcome back to our podcast. And today's episode, we are going to be talking about breaking the mold, how rule breakers and opinion makers rise above the average. Today, we have a guest who epitomizes the spirit of fearless creativity in the design world. We have Stephanie Dotta, is an experienced branding and web designer with a flair for crafting brands that are not just memorable, but absolutely unforgettable. With over a decade of experience, Stephanie has lent her design genius to household names like Michael Hill and Inner Health Plus, leaving a mark on the industry. But now, Stephanie's story doesn't stop there. In 2021, she made a bold move to blaze on her own trail, founding the Genie Design Studio. Here, she specializes in social media design, animation, orchestrating email marketing campaigns that captivate audiences and orchestrating website launches that leave a lasting impression and impact. I just love this one. Our guest, her design philosophy is simply yet powerful. She's unafraid, unapologetically, and always ready to take calculated risks to ensure her clients, their brands get attention they truly deserve in the world of business. So if you're ready to dive into the world of design and branding and what it takes to stand out in a crowded marketplace, you're in for a treat. So self-taught designers, join me and let's welcome our fearless Stephanie to the podcast. Hey, Stephanie, how are you doing?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining me here. You know what? It's a thing, right? There are a lot of us self-taught designers and trying to navigate in everything. And sometimes we are actually rule breakers and we are those like, you know, opinion makers, right? And sometimes we kind of hide ourselves because, oh, we want to be X, Y, and Z type. And I just love it when you actually started our conversation. So tell us a little bit about you and your journey as a self-taught designer, as well as with a formal education, right, in design. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yes. So I started with a formal education and then went straight into getting a lot of experience in a lot of different workplaces, a lot of corporate places. And in particular, corporate places can be so, you know, there's a lot of people involved in the decision-making process and there's a very specific way you've got to go about things and it can really stifle that creative process, which is, you know, such a big part of building a brand and building a website. So when I went out on my own, I really wanted to relish those opportunities to dive deep into a brand, ask hard questions that you couldn't always ask in a corporate setting. And been so lucky to find people that love being asked those hard questions because they want to be challenged in their business and they want an expert to point them in the right direction or at least give them some guidance. So I've built this whole business kind of off of that, and that's been really great. In particular, one place I worked at, they said to us when I was just a junior designer, they said, don't ask the client any questions. It's perceived as being difficult. We don't want to be difficult for the client. And I thought, there's nothing more difficult to me than, you know, getting a design wrong or misunderstanding something the client's asked for. I would always prefer to have open communication and have a really transparent relationship with my clients. And so I think, you know, that's something in particular that I had to teach myself because I was being taught, don't ask questions. But what felt right in my gut was to ask hard questions or go back and double check and make sure the communication was always on point so that my design was always on point.
I love that one because that is really true, especially with you, that you have that corporate experience with design. There are processes, there are like, you know, systems that get followed, and then you stick with a certain script, and then being told, just do this, don't ask questions, especially if we're business owners, is that we are experts, not just note takers, right? We want to make sure to go through and we do it to be able to serve our clients correctly so that they can use all the brands and all the assets that we are building.
Yeah, we want to give them the best possible opportunity. So yes, we could spit out a whole bunch of different designs for them, but in the end, you know, it's taking the time to really sit down and understand our clients and have hard conversations and get really deep into strategy is another thing I'm really big on. Those building blocks make a really strong brand. So that's always really important to me.
Now, of course, when we are working with like rule breakers or opinion makers in the industry, I want to be different. I want to be able to stand out because I have noticed trends every year that there's going to be a trend of type of design, type of logo, type of aesthetic right now. How do you come in and really not tend to lean towards non-trending or conventional design in approach? Tell us a little bit about that, your process when it comes to that type of design or approach to your clients.
Yeah, I mean, look, we take a lot of inspiration as designers from trends out in the world, but I think what's different is the questions we ask at the start of the brand building process. So part of my strategy is I build out a bit of a mantra for the brand. So what mantra can we come back to when we think of this brand? What sentence or what paragraph can we refer to when we think about their overall purpose and values? I go through their four values just so that I can constantly come back to, and then communication pillars as well. And so asking myself those questions and them, and distilling it down into a one-page document, which I call my design philosophy, makes me build a brand that is really specific and targeted to them. And when you ask those really specific questions, there's no way you're going to get a brand that is exactly like someone else's out in the market. So if you rush through that branding process, then I think for sure you're going to accidentally create a brand that's already out in existence that looks like something that's trending. But when you ask all those little questions, find out what those really unique and bespoke values are, you get this really well-crafted brand that has so much meaning and so much value and is going to last years compared to a trending brand, which will last, you know, just for the year and no longer, because it's not going to be seen as fashionable in a year's time. But what will always be in fashion is your brand, your values, your personality. That's your business makeup. So nailing your foundations is so important to that.
That is really, it's just the long term, because I started as well, like designing just like the concept logo when client goes start, I just need a logo. And then you just whip it up. And then in weeks and time, you don't even see they use it, or they don't understand how to use it, right? And I love your process, and there's really involved of research and really understanding, diving into, and took a lot. Did it took you a bit of a process, or was your corporate job, you know, help you tying it all together now that you are a business owner, now that you have your own design studio? Tell me a little bit about it, because there are times, right, we have self-doubt designers, like, what type of question will I ask to evoke that answer, to evoke that really deeper understanding? Because there are times like where I feel like, I don't know if you agree with this, Stephanie, like we're like psychology, like we question, we ask, we deep. Like, tell me a little bit about that. Like, did your other job, your previous job help you? And then into really diving, how to ask those questions, how to go about those?
Yeah, actually, you know what set me up really well for this process was being in that corporate job, because you had to explain your reasoning and your design purpose of why did you create this thing and why does it look like this and not like that. You had to be able to explain that and articulate that really well and to a lot of people. in different stages of the process. So constantly questioning yourself and saying, is this following what this person wants, the direction of the company, the future financial goals? It becomes quite natural. And then, but it's more of an ongoing process when you're in a corporate place. Whereas when I've started my business and I get to build brands from scratch, I ask that at the very start. And then everything else can flow really fluidly if you ask those questions at the start. And then, yeah, it's just been a lot of practice. And I think that's what's really important and valuable about being self-taught is that you learn from all those brands you build. And you can also see when a client, you know, doesn't understand or doesn't value the brand as much as you do. And it occurs to you, I haven't explained myself or my processes enough. And that's on me to get better at that next time. So that's definitely a really valuable piece of the brand building process.
I love that part that you said that sometimes, you know, in each of the client, you learn something, you improve, you develop. And it is so true. Like with all, I have noticed like the growth of process and understanding of building brand and listening, especially listening, because I can be so, I have that ADHD. I need to talk fast or else they disappear in the thin air, right? And I had to like say, Joanna, just keep quiet, listen to the client. And I bet there's a lot of self-taught designer like that as well, because they want to make sure that they don't miss anything or too excited. And it's hard to kind of just listen and really go through it and being able to really dive into it, because, and every time you improve. Now, you know, being in the corporate and doing your business, I know you've opened the Genie Design Studio during pandemic. Tell me a little bit about that when you transition as an entrepreneur, as a business owner.
Yeah, I think what's really important to remember is I was at two different places, and during the, you know, a few different waves of COVID, they had to let people go. And it occurred to me that working for someone else is no more stable than working for yourself. And it seemed like the scary thing to start a business, but having things in my control and, you know, always being in charge of the number of clients I got, that's all on me. Whereas when you work for someone else, you can't really control those things. So my advice to people is to always keep in mind is that sometimes starting your own business is a less scary thing than working for someone else or another company, because you can't control their payroll, you can't control their clients and things like that.
It is scary to go on your own. Like there are weeks like, where's the money coming in? Like, hey, I got bills. Where's that? Where's that retainer? Where's that project? And then you dip in into your savings or your fund. And it's really scary. But yeah, the capability that you can do, the when you work hard, you put yourself out there, the reward of it is really different. Now, of course, right, when we are attracting rule breakers and, you know, opinion makers, right, it's also how you market yourself online, how you do your messaging. And one thing that when we started our conversation, when we initially have a call, is just that, you know, that messaging needs to be clear. Tell me a little bit about that process, because sometimes we can be so flowery with our words or with our copy. Tell us a little bit about that when it comes to marketing, so that you can really attract that type of client you want to work with.
Yeah. Look, a lot of designers, I think we do have a tendency to follow those trends, like we mentioned before. And I really wanted to make sure I brought out the parts of my personality that people know me for in person and reflect that on my website, in my copywriting, in my photography. And so I wanted a strong, bold, confident personality to come through on my website, which is just as my friends would describe me in person. So when I booked in a photo shoot, I wanted photography that reflected that. And it's also showing to the client, this is the standard that I set for myself, and this is the standard that I expect from you as well. And so if they can see my level and what I expect for myself, then they know that that's what I want for them as well. And so it starts to show them a bit of my process and a bit of my marketing abilities for myself, so that they can start to picture themselves in my shoes and how that the process would work. And I think I've gotten a lot of really good feedback on my copywriting in particular, and just being really specific, saying I'm looking for those opinion makers. And so people see themselves in that copy and they recognize that they're strong and they're motivated and they're determined to be different in their industry. And that really speaks to them directly. And I've had quite a few people say, I really loved that first line on your website. And that's really invaluable to being able to speak to your target market.
There's a lot of good things that you ought to, you know, whoever's listening, make sure you download and also save this episode, because Stephanie really said a lot of things there. First off, when you said self-standard, like, what is the standard that I have for myself? I'm going to reflect it because that is what I want to achieve. Because there are times like we just, you know, put things up and then wondering why we're not getting any clients, but you want to showcase that. That sets you different. We're going to drop Stephanie's website. Check it out. Amazing image. Follow her on Instagram as well, which the link is going to be in the description as well. You'll be able to see how she's really just that strong present. I love that strong present, your imagery and that design, that luxury type, like, oh gosh, I love this a lot, right? That self-standard that you really have, because that's also what I wanted to, like, in my business, right? It might be fun, but I want them to know that I may be fun, but I have the energy and the professionalism that will accomplish things. So I show up in the way I want my clients to show up. I want them to show up how I see running a business is, right? I really love that one. It's really just so important to showcase that. Did you have because you did mention that, yeah, I am this personality, and there are some self-taught designers that kind of just care, because, like, to be bold and say, I want to work with rule breakers and opinion makers, like, I want to work with you, is really like a good way of niching down. What do you think about those people kind of just like navigating the niching down and figuring things out? Because it's really hard. It took me some time to really know who I want to work with. Their industry, I kind of say, no, I don't work because of experience and everything. But tell me a little bit about that, if you have any advice, especially on niching down, because you know how we are, right? We want to serve everyone because that's where the money is.
It's so funny you say that, because I really struggled with the niching down thing as well. And it comes up a lot in a lot of design podcasts and design blogs. I think it's a really hard topic to hit the nail on the head. For me personally, I found one particular industry just wasn't right, and I didn't want to niche down by industry. So I thought, can I niche down according to my values? And so my values were, you know, being passionate about what I do. And I wanted other people who were passionate and felt really strongly about things. I wanted to work with those people. And I wanted to work with people who trusted in testing and just diving in and taking those risks and trusting in that power of forward momentum. So finding those people, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. I know that we're both really passionate about what we do, and we're both really hard workers, and I can get behind any client who is a hard worker and who's passionate about their business and really believes in it. And I think that's worked really well for me so far. And I've still found a lot of clients, even with niching down just by values rather than industry.
I love that one, you know, niching down according to your values, really aligning. And that's also where I think us as self-taught designers, that we also need to do our own branding, that process that we do, you know, the mission, the vision, the values that we have. We also need to start doing that on our own. And I love that part we're in. Like, I want to work with those people who are hardworking, driven, trust the process, because when they understand that you are there as their business partner and not just another website designer or brand designer that they can just do this something, right? If they understand that and you actually present that through your messaging, because you're clear, you understand, it is really a relationship. And that's where I believe, Stephanie, I bet you agree, right? That people then come back to you because you are behind their business. You understand their business and they understand you as an expert. So are you starting to see now like repeat clients, repeat business, or like relationship after the project? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I always get my clients coming back for more work, and then referrals now are really big for my business. At the start, you know, the first year, people are like, I kept asking people, how did you get clients and stuff? And people kept saying referrals. And I'm like, what if you don't have any clients? It is a while till you get those clients that you can then get those referrals. But when you do start getting those referrals, it makes up such a large part of your business. And those referrals are really great because people have already spoken about how you work. So people either like how you work or they don't. And so they know what they're signing up for and they're happy to work with me in a way that suits my business and how I've set it up, which is exactly why we start these businesses, right? Because we want to work in a way that's best reflects our skills and our skill set.
Referrals is really good. It's a really good way to increase or to really make our business good. And then when you really have already established your business in a way that you want based on your standard, it really helps and reflects through the referrals, to the quality of referrals. Because, you know, if that person, client A, is your ideal client, her friend is going to be also your ideal client, right? So it's that relationship. Yeah. Now, have you ever experienced turning down a client that is not suited or maybe is not aligned with your business? If ever you have, tell us a little bit of that. If not, that is totally okay. Kind of just like making sure, because sometimes, right, saying no to a client is really hard, like for me. But there are days that I say, like, it's not a right fit, I'm gonna recommend somebody else. Have you had that instances?
I don't think I've had too many incidents where that's happened. But one thing that does kind of show how willing people are to work with me is the price point that I deliver and the strategy, whether people are willing to invest in that, whether they see the value. I think people who are just after a logo will kind of think that my prices are expensive just for a logo, but there's more in my process than just a logo. So those people kind of weed themselves out of the process because they are after small packages. They don't want to do that groundwork to build a really strong brand. And so having a really crystal clear quoting process has been really massive, and making sure that I'm giving multi-page documents about how I work, all the deliverables they get. It either speaks to people or it does not. So it's very, very clear.
Yes. You know, we always also really partner with value through our pricing, you know, how we offer, how we quote as well. And one of the challenges, Stephanie, that I've seen, like, especially in the group that we're in or designer group, right, is pricing. For me, yeah. I don't know if it's just me. I so easily put numbers. Like, I can see, like, I can, because I think when I first started, I was so self-aware, like how much hour it takes. Like there was really like, I was really, I want to learn this. So when somebody tells me like 6 pages, 7 pages, yep, the calculator, that add this, I know this price. And but there are some that is really having a hard time, right? Because money at times is our mindset, how we find our value of some sort. And you mentioned really that the strategy of pricing and the value that you offer, and because of what you need and what you offer, right? Sometimes say like, oh, it's not within my budget, or, you know, I know I'd love to work with you, but I'm not be able to afford you right now. But let's talk a little bit about your process when you started your studio in terms of pricing. Like, because mine, yeah, I was really like, I had calculator, I had better understanding of my hours, how each of the pages takes place, what research involved, what tools involved. So there's some self-awareness, but I'd love to learn your strategic process and pricing your projects.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I definitely do a values package-based pricing, and it's the value of the project and, you know, the lifetime of how long that design piece is going to function for the business. So along with the value, how long it's going to take, I calculate in my head as well the hours that it's going to take me so that I can get a rough figure from that and then kind of add on the value together. But also setting a minimum amount that I know that is reasonable for me to work with for each project. So although I do custom quotes for a lot of people, I've got that minimum amount in my head ready to go that I know that is going to be that dollar figure that will make me deliver my best work. So it's not just about the client. It's I want to deliver my best work for the client, and I can only do that with this dollar amount. So important.
I love that point, yeah, that, you know, the dollar amount best work, because there were times when I first starting, I started working with Canva, right? And the first set of templates I had for 25 templates at Canva social media, and it was retainer, it was $49. All right. That was like, Yes, for 25 Canva templates. So that was when I was starting up, when started people. And there was a time that I was crying. Because like the amount of work and the value and the amount of dollar that I was getting, it's like, this is not a line. And I was crying and crying and crying because I was tired. I was stressed and I'm not happy anymore. And then, so I end up, you know, the word you said, like best work, the value that I put in, when I'm not happy and I'm not compensated, I don't create a very good design. You know, I don't feel happy. I feel stressed. And that's when I started, I should really be able to understand how I price this. And it's a good reminder that we need to value our work, because what makes us happy is really showing in our work. I really love that one. Yeah. I love that one. It's a good reminder. Value project, custom projects, you know. Now, for me, I agree also with you. Like, I already have like a standard. Like, I know already a 5 website, you know, funnel, email marketing. I could whip up, I could already the top of my head. And then anything customizable is always there as well. And then it could always be done. Now, do you have a specific like platform that you use for your CRM? I use Dubsado. Do you have a particular process, or how do you do your quote or your CRM?
I'm on the Dubsado train as well. It's so good, isn't it?
It is. It's changed my life.
Yes. And all the clients are like, what is this? Like, I think we need this for our organization. And they just love those onboarding forms and uploading everything in the one spot. It's just so seamless. And I think the clients really appreciate that level of professionalism, especially when, you know, we're a small business as well.
I love that one, because there's really a lot of things tying up together in order for us to provide quality of work. And here's one thing really I advise as well with self-taught designers trying to build their business is, yeah, you want to be really self-aware of processing, making it simple for clients to onboard. And, you know, just the only thing they have, okay, they sign up, they listen to you, they let you work, and then they sign off. That's the most important process that you want.
The only friction I want to give the client is asking them hard questions about, well, where's your business going to be in 5 years? Who's your target market? What age are they? Those are the only friction points I want to give. I don't want them to experience that in the actual design process or handing over assets. And it needs to be so cohesive and easy for them, because as designers, we are problem solvers. So they expect us to solve these really unique problems, including their little, you know, dealing all these different files and documents. So it's so important.
That's why you really need to be conscious or self-aware of your onboarding, your pre-work, and your offboarding as well. Now, when it comes to offboarding, as if you mentioned, right, you have all the process seamless. Tell us a little bit about that. Do you just hand over, you know, once you hand over the files, like how do your offboarding kind of process as well? If you kind of just want to share that one.
Yeah, branding and websites in particular, I love to just hop on a call and really go over everything, and also just be a bit excited for them and be like, thank you so much. And this was so fun. I can't wait to see it out in the world. I can't wait for you to post it. And I think it reinforces that message that, like, I really believe in them and I really believe in their business. And I think the personality and kindness and love that I give to my clients is really part of why people like working with me. So I really want to emphasize that in our final call, so that they feel encouraged to come back to me for next time, that they feel really supported, basically.
Now, you know, running a business as well is a roller coaster. I always say this one, that us entrepreneurs are the crazy ones, because we go into entrepreneurship and I'm like, what did I just get myself into? We have our highs and we have our lows. Can you share a little bit also maybe some challenges of running the Genie Design Studio that you have, that kind of just like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? Because I'd love to hear what are the wins, of course, right? But also what are the challenges that you've overcome as a business owner?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and you'd mentioned this, is the highs and lows of that cash flow piece, which is so hard, especially when you value your work a lot and, you know, you set those prices at a particular point. It is sometimes like this intense waiting game, waiting for that next client to come through. But also on top of that is like waking up every day and having extreme confidence in yourself, because you don't have, you know, a coworker or a boss to kind of push you forward. You have to do that yourself. And I think a lot of people who don't run their own businesses don't realize that it's a lot of mental fortitude to wake up every day and give yourself a pat on the back and tell yourself to keep going. I think, have you noticed that? Like how hard that is, like day in, day out? Like perhaps I can be confident 6 days of the week, but 7 days is pushing it. Like,
yes, so true. Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard because I, like, this year alone has been challenging for me, both health-wise, mental-wise. I just feel like there's a lot, because there's a lot of responsibility now coming in the business. And I so agree, like, it is such like, Joanna, wake up. Yay, you're going to be energetic. Or yes, you're going to go this way. And then there are days like, shoot, I don't know how to do this one. Yeah. It's really, really hard. It's really hard to do that. How are there any ways that you do to kind of motivate you? Do you do some certain activities? Do you certain something fun? Do you put pause and like, okay, let me just turn this all off and just kind of go out and walk? Or tell me a little bit about that.
Every time when I've been questioning, you know, can I do this? Do I have the strength to run my own business? Something always happens. Someone always reaches out to me and gives me a kind word just out of the blue, not knowing what I'm going through or the stresses that I'm under. And it makes me realize that I'm actually doing way better than I think I am. And I think we don't give ourselves enough credit for that. So sometimes, some days it's like accepting and feeling defeated, but then you wake up on a fresh day and you don't even know who that person was yesterday who wasn't confident. And you just try again the next day, because there's literally, it's this great thing working for yourself, or it's going back to working for someone else, not doing what really fulfills you. So I think the idea and the possibility of I could make this work, and that challenge just pushes me forward each new day. So although those low periods are there, the challenge of and the potential of what it could be is just too exciting to just leave or abandon.
Yes, just like, you know, when I'm down as well, kind of just like there is always a reminder on why I'm doing this. Like somebody comes in or somebody sends you a testimonial or somebody kind of just like praise you and said, oh my gosh, I needed this so much. And I actually heard this one, Stephanie, from, I don't know if it's a podcast or maybe a show from a coach. They have a like pick me up, good feeling. Is it a feel good folder? It's all their positive testimonials or positive work. And every time they feel down, they open that one. And then it kind of just like reset that kind of like negative mindset that they had. That was really fun to do.
Yeah. For me, that's my Google reviews. Just scroll through my Google reviews just to remind myself how much people love me and the work that I do.
That is awesome. Yeah, I love it. I haven't even thought that one. Now, speaking of Google reviews, how do you ask for testimonials? You know how sometimes like designers or self-taught designers are so like, can I ask for testimonials? Like sometimes, and then sometimes when you ask, you don't hear anything and then you feel bad. Like, oh, my work might not be because they haven't done any positive review, right? Do you have a certain tip or process about asking testimonials to your clients?
I will admit I'm not the best at this. So I'm willing to take your advice on this one, Joanna. But what I have found and the few that I have gotten is getting people on that end call on the Zoom, sending them the link right there and asking them in person, because they click on it straight away. It opens in the new tab. And then right after they finish the call, they can leave a review. And then also you can add your personality and a bit of charisma to be like, can you please leave me a review? It's like so massive for my business. And then usually people are like, no worries, it's not a problem. And it's so much less dry than sending an email like, we'd love if you could leave us a review, which I feel like people are very easy to just ignore.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, sometimes like we send email and then like, oh, we haven't heard anything. But what I do, I started doing video ask. So part of our offboarding, so you know, like we have a contract that is like says like, hey, please sign this off board. This signifies that we are done. Sign this one. And if they don't sign, we just keep on doing that. And then part of that is actually the link for the video ask. And so funny, actually, they can give you free use for how many videos? I thought there was, but it has been really good. So I get a lot of video testimonials, not Google review. So, and also, you know, Google review is something that I want to do more, but I do get the video ask. It's part of our offboarding. They click on that. They send it anywhere, mobile, laptop, or anything. So that's just my whole process. But there are times that some of the clients really just don't have the time. And I'm actually also selective on those who I ask testimonials. Those, like, I know, like, so bad.
Aren't we all? Yes. Yeah. One thing, actually, someone, I can't remember where I heard it, but the next time someone sends you, like, we love this design, just in an email after you've just sent them a design, just copying and pasting that, saying, can you copy and paste that into a Google review? Here's the link. And so they don't even have to think about what to write. The other one I tried recently, see, I've been trying all the different ways for these reviews. So on top of that, I also have tried doing a bit of a template. So the Genie Design Studio supplied us with, and I'll let them fill in the blank. And we found the whole process really fill in the blank. That way you can get some more meatier reviews, because otherwise it's 5 stars. Yep, she was great, delivered us great design. And it's not really talking much about the process. It's really good to try and get a bit of detail out of people, but they just don't know what to say after such a big process, I guess. So a lot of people seemed quite happy to just fill in the blanks with the adjectives.
I love that one. That is a very good idea, having a template, right? And then they can just delete parts or add parts, and it makes it easier. Because it's so true. There are really some clients that just gives you like one liner and then like, oh no, there should be more to this because we didn't, you know, we did a good partnership kind of. I love that idea. Truly, you know, for all of you self-taught designers out there, I hope you are getting amazing tips in this conversation, right? Just those, having templates, being able to really connect, find value in what you do, the pricing that you offer, and really understanding that process, because we want to be the rule breakers and, you know, the mavericks in our own space and be able to stand out. And I think that's where you come in, Stephanie. You're able to stand out because of those, because of that understanding as well. And really is just an amazing process to go through. And I just love what you have created, your experiences, how you show up, and how you really, I can really feel that passion that I want to be your business partner. I'm going to tell you and ask you questions that you might not be able to answer right now, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because this is for the best of the project and the best of this process, right? And that's where we kind of want to focus on. Now, there will be a lot of aspiring self-taught designers just like you, coming from the corporate experience of design, doing and building their own business because they have that passion, looking at a similar path, right? They want to collaborate with rule breakers and opinion makers. What advice do you offer for them that are getting started and really to succeed in that niche and building it and really keep on doing things despite, you know, the question, the negativity we put in my mind, but kind of just keep on showing up still?
Yeah. When you are first starting out and you're self-taught, you may have to copy the trends for a bit. And that might be a really important part of your learning process and learning how to build a beautiful website, just replicating what you see on Pinterest or someone else's website. And that might be a really important part of that learning, steep learning curve. But as soon as you've got a grip on the technical skills, don't be afraid to start injecting your own personality in it, because that's when it's going to become so much easier to create designs and build your brand, when it's naturally you and authentically you. We're doing this business 5-7 days a week. We don't want to show up as someone else. We want to make it as easy for ourselves as possible. And the only way we can do that is if we're doing design that we personally love, that really reflects our personality. So yeah, as you're starting out, don't be afraid to do some of the generic designs, but give yourself like a lot of start sooner than you think you are ready. Start before you think you're ready. And I think that was really big for me, because I didn't think I was ready to run my own business. And it wasn't until, you know, those corporate places couldn't keep on all their designers that I thought it's time. And it turns out that I was ready. I just needed the hard push. And putting yourself into that stressful situation is sometimes the best thing that you can do for your business, because you really don't know what you can accomplish until you put yourself in that really hard, really difficult situation.
That is such an amazing advice to start it, you know, generic if you can, learn from it, learn how to differentiate moving forward, but that conscious awareness. I love what you have built. I love how what you're creating, and I just love how the rule breakers and, you know, the mavericks out there are working with you. So Stephanie, tell us a little bit about how our audience can reach out and learn more from you and what you're creating, as well as how our amazing potential clients can find you and what you do in your business more.
So my website is Jeanie Design Studio, J-E-A-N-I-E, jeaniedesignstudio.com. And I'm also on Instagram as Jeanie Design Studio. And I'd love for people to connect. Feel free to ask me any questions and your experiences about starting your business. When I started my business, I relied a lot on other women in the industry for their advice and their support. And so I'm really big on giving that back as well. So if you do have any questions, or you're having trouble niching down to be really bold and be really unapologetically yourself, that's the place. I'm the person to ask.
Thank you so much. And make sure to follow Stephanie, check out her work, you know, reach out. This is why I love the mission of the Self-Taught Designer podcast, is to really have a community of self-taught, helping each other, really trying to support one another, because we all can learn from each other. I've learned from Stephanie, her ways of niching down, being able to unapologetically, I can't pronounce it right, ask question, because it's not just for the mere asking question. It's really for understanding, so that we can serve our clients more. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me in this podcast. I am just so honored to have you. So make sure to subscribe, download this, and follow Stephanie. All of the links will be in the description. We'll also have a show notes that will be available. And then, yeah, reach out to us, reach out to Stephanie, because you'll surely learn a lot from her amazing design and her journey as a business owner of the Jeanie Design Studio. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much.
And there we have it, another episode diving deep into the world of self-taught designer. We truly hope these stories and insight continue to inspire and fuel your creative journey. Remember, every professional was once an amateur, and every expert began as a beginner. A big thanks to our guests, sponsors, and especially you, our listener. Your support makes every episode a new adventure. If you find value in today's discussion, consider sharing this podcast with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Your feedback that only help us grow, but also reach out more self-taught designers out there. So stay curious, keep pushing those boundaries, and always trust in your unique design journey. I'm Joanna, and this has been the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. See you next time.